Here for you then.
Prolific rainfall totals.
Here for you now.
Thanks, guys.
It only takes one storm.
The Hurricane Information Station.
Stay alert.
We get storms in October.
Sky Storm Watch for Radiant Credit Union.
There's more time.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Oh, yeah. It's a Monday, but we are going to make it awesome, my friends. It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The big story, the biggest story, the most important story, early voting. Early voting. It starts in most areas in about 23 minutes. Get out there and get it done. I am serious. This is, we're at a tipping point. You know that. If you're listening to the show and paying attention, you know that. I mean, every election cycle we say, oh, this is it. This is the most important election of our lifetime. Well, progressively they have been, and this is definitely the one, in my opinion. With us right now from Epoch Times, Nanette Holt. Nanette, great to see you again. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. Excited to be almost to the end of election season. I guess I'm probably alone there, but I'm ready to get this booger done.
I am stashing all my antidepressants just in case. Just in case.
Oh.
No, I am thinking good thoughts and I'm praying to the good Lord. Rescue us. You've got a reporter in North Carolina, Western North Carolina. So much damage done there. Give me kind of the lay of the land, the FEMA angle, the voting angle. What's going on there?
Yeah, a lot going on there. Well, we actually have several that have deployed there, not based there. One is she considers herself to be, you know, of the mountain people before she left and went on to the big cities to make her way in journalism. And she has clambered up into the mountains. And people in the mountains where their homes have been destroyed, their communities have been destroyed by mudslides, are saying, we are going to vote. And literally, they're saying, come hell or high water, we are going to vote. And it's interesting because North Carolina has started releasing their early voting numbers, which their early voting has started already. Day one of early voting in North Carolina was a record. It surpassed even their last record, which was in 2020. Their day one in 2020 early voting was a record. And that state went for Trump in 2016 and 2020. So it's really interesting. That's an early voting state. In 2020, by the time they, you know, Election Day rolled around, 65% of their voters in North Carolina had already voted.
How many? How many? What percent?
65%.
Oh, okay.
Of their voters had already voted, or the voters in that election had cast their ballots. And, you know, it went for Trump. So it's very interesting that these people are saying, we will do whatever it takes to come out of the mountains and to vote. And, you know, what she's hearing is these are Trump voters.
Yeah, I mean, I would think. I mean, I'm just speculating from having just traveled through there and the time that I've spent there. I know that they're generally, you know, conservative family people, people of the earth, people that are, you know, hard workers. And I mean, that would make sense. They might have been, you know, the old Dixiecrats or whatever at some point. But I think that, you know, they switched over a while ago.
Well, you also brought up FEMA, which has been a big question about, you know, is FEMA being maligned unfairly, or is FEMA really not doing the job, or is FEMA actually getting in the way of humanitarian aid delivery? I've received a lot of texts from good sources who are very plugged in who say this is actually happening. They're actually blocking us from getting to people who need things. They're you know, saying our trucks can't go through, our helicopters can't land. Now, I need the receipts, right? We can't put that in the paper until we have the receipts. So we have a reporter there nailing that down. Is that actually happening? Or, you know, both sides are trying to score political points right now. We have to be really careful that we give you the truth. So we're running that down on FEMA.
Let me stop you there for a minute. Now, my understanding of FEMA, it's not like FEMA is this, they're not like the reserves. They don't just call people up and they go into an area. They're the providers of expertise. They're supposed to basically expedite the people that would have a level of expertise in those areas. If you already have people volunteering, if you already have people in the private sector, why would there be such a delay for people who are actually going to get paid for their work?
Well, we really need to dig into this.
Yeah.
It's a big question. And, you know, like you said, FEMA's big job is to direct people to the proper resources. But you know, again and again, we're hearing these tales that FEMA is actually blocking aid people need right now to survive. Water, medical supplies, food, you know, baby food, baby formula. So we need to know, is this happening or is this, you know, was this just a political points move? We need to know.
And in a political season, let's be fair. I mean, people, you know, they exaggerate. There's some hyperbole and, you know.
Just a little.
It's just so, it is so hard to find the truth. I try to be a truth teller, but first you have to find the truth. So, all right. So FEMA, and we talked about the voting. What else did you want to talk about in those mountainous areas?
Well, and I think Trump is headed there. I think we have a reporter there for that in Asheville. So we'll have to get more to that. But I did want to tell you a little bit about what I've been hearing from Atlanta, which was very interesting.
Okay.
You ready for Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a reporter there, and I really don't like it when people are put into groups based on, you know, their skin color or their, you know, religious faith or whatever. You know, we just need to get past that. But this is a reporter who's in Atlanta. He's going to be there through the election, probably through the certification of results of their election. And what he told me is, he's a black man, and what he told me is he's really focusing on talking to black men and women about how they plan to vote. What, you know, what is this phenomenon really happening that black men are all in for Trump? He had been focusing on talking with black women because we've heard they really want to support the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said, he texted me, he said, my jaw has literally dropped. He said he has to talk to these women, promising to keep them off the record, not name them. And they go on and on. He said that it's been consistent. They talk about how they want a woman for president, that Trump is a crook. They go on and on. And then one, he texted me her exact words the other day. They talked for about 15 minutes. And he said, so what you're saying is you would never vote for Trump. She looked to the side, both sides, looked around and said, I'm just going to be real. I'm going to be real with you and say I early voted for him already.
What?
Yeah. And he said he really started digging in. And his words to me, texted this to me, he said, what must be understood is there is an internal cultural rule that black people don't vote Republican. But the real stigma there is breaking down.
Oh, it is breaking down.
Now, this is from a black man talking to people, voters in Atlanta. So we'll see. I mean, if you're rooting for President Trump, there are a lot of signs that you should be feeling a lot better.
Yes, it is just, though, I always tell people, be vigilant. We can't rest on any laurels, anything, polling, any stories that you hear. You've got to go out and do the work, and that means you got to vote, and you got to get your friends to do that, too. We can't take any chances at all because, hey, let's be honest, the other side doesn't always play by the rules, and I want to see it to be overwhelming. I want it to be shockingly overwhelming, the vote for Trump. That's what I'm praying and hoping for.
Well, we just, you know, it's really hard to say. I brought in the polls. Like, the polls in the springs, in the swing states, are now all leaning toward him. So this is an aggregation by Real Clear Politics. This was an update yesterday. Top battleground states, overall, he was up almost a point. Arizona up by 1.6, Georgia 1.8, Michigan 1.2, Nevada.
And at that point, we got to wrap it up. We're running up against the clock.
Well, there you go.
That's not your fault.
Ahead in seven.
Nanette Holt, epic times, awesome. Thanks for sharing that really good story with us. All right. We've got more coming up right here on 97.3 The Sky. Hang on. Let's go, Gators!
Woo!
How about that?
Oh,
big
man.
Win over Kentucky.
Mm-mm.
Then what do? We got a little break, and then it's the world's largest cocktail party. Jacksonville, Florida, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. Yep, they just had a big win.
Mm.
Yeah, so over Texas. It is, it's a big game. I saw some posts online like, you think Billy Napier should get to keep his job if he beats Georgia?
Hmm. Okay.
That was interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of football, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, former star players of the Steelers, registered voters for Trump. Nice. And they registered more voters for Trump, hopefully, in Pennsylvania over the weekend. They were seen wearing Make America Great Again hats under a Turning Point USA action tent registering voters in Pittsburgh. A lot of them were Steelers fans. Apparently, when Trump went to the game, and he got all kinds of applause.
You gotta love that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're calling it a thunderous welcome.
Thunderous.
The Pittsburgh Steelers game. That's important, man. You gotta win in those rust belts.
You know, I never hear the crowd chanting USA at a Tim Walz or a Kamala event. Have you noticed that pattern? Only when it's, you know, J.D. Vance or Donald Trump. Wonder why that
I've
is.
Heard at a couple of their events, I think it was Karl Marx. Karl Marx.
Wow. Yeah, we know whose event that was. We know Karl Marx is welcome at a Kamala event.
Trump can be seen waving at the crowd, making the fight, fight, fight gesture.
That's awesome.
His attendance at the Steelers game comes a day after former Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, former Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell, attended Trump's rally in La Trobe, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Yep. And Brown spoke about how Trump embodied the value of hard work and loyalty.
I like that.
Yep. So, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Go Gators. Go Trump. What else we got going on? Go Oktoberfest.
Yes.
Audi hosting their annual Oktoberfest to benefit the Ronald McDonald House. And it is always a good time there, and it raises money for the excellent cause that we are the radio station.
Sponsor or supporter, whatever you want to make it.
No, we are the
official radio station.
That's it.
Yes.
I wanted to make it sound, you know.
Oh, well, we are. It's true. For Ronald McDonald House. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's for a great cause, and they do it in a very authentic manner. I mean, when you fly the band in from Munich,
yeah,
I think you're going for authenticity.
That's legit.
Well, Tom, the general manager over there, he lived in Germany, I want to say 20 years. It might have been longer.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. And Michael Potipow doing a lot of great work for Ronald McDonald House. He'll be on the grill again this year.
Yes.
Yeah. After, I don't know. I think he almost passed out a couple times.
It's
only like 190 degrees, you know, standing a foot from the grill.
But we appreciate his hard work.
Absolutely.
We really do. Thanks, Mike.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. WWE legend known as The Undertaker cut his own election promo in a video posted on social media on Friday after pro wrestling star Dave Bautista, known as Bautista, took shots at former President Donald Trump earlier this week.
I was glad to see Kane, who was, of course, the wrestling brother of Undertaker, was a part of that as well. Nice to see both of them coming out for Donald Trump.
You could say they were both raising Cain for Trump.
They were.
Brother!
Yes, they were.
Yep. So, hey.
And they're being legit, not doing some stupid late-night TV skit. Come on. How stupid is that?
Yeah. Yeah. They're keeping it real because, you know, that's what we do.
Kamala was stupid. Did you see?
What'd she do?
Remember that the crowd the other day when somebody yelled out from the crowd, Jesus is Lord.
Oh, do you have that on sound? It's hard to hear it just because the audio, they're not on the microphone. Right. They're in the crowd, but it was clearly loud enough for her to respond.
Well, and you got to keep in mind, this is the woman who's making the rounds of black churches, souls to the polls, talking about her childhood in the church choir at the Church of God. I'm like, I don't really believe that, but this is the woman who's visiting churches every week, and this is her response.
And again, we're not going to be gaslighted on this. We remember Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended.
That's where the man
said. Oh, you
said
guys
so.
Are at the wrong rally.
What did he say?
Jesus is Lord. And that's her response.
You're at the wrong rally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you say.
No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Wow. Yeah, the topic is abortion. And obviously somebody in the crowd, you know, wanted to make their Christian view known at that point in the discussion of abortion. And I don't know. She didn't.
She said you're at the wrong route. So yeah. Isn't she saying, in fact, that if you believe Jesus is Lord, you're
the wrong rally.
Yeah.
You need to go to the little one down the street, as she put it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's telling.
Oh, yeah. While you're making the rounds at churches every weekend, trying to get the black Christian vote.
And I like how she said that, you know, the Supreme Court justices were, you know, handpicked by Donald Trump. They had to go through Senate approval just like any other Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Yeah. But, handpicked.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're at the wrong rally.
Yeah. Yeah. But she has no problem going to a church and asking for votes.
Asking for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about faith. Not sure who her faith is in, but, you know.
As the 2024 election approaches, this from Breitbart, the Biden-Harris administration foreign policy has left the world in utter chaos and teetering on the brink of World War III. From the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal to the Israeli-Hamas war, all while Russia, China, and Iran, once restrained under Trump's tough stance, are emboldened, raising concerns that a Harris term would spell irreversible disaster. Yeah, it is a frightening thought. Since taking office, the Biden-Harris administration has made a series of failed foreign policy moves, many of which have shifted longstanding U.S. strategies. Biden himself recently underscored Vice President Kamala Harris's involvement in such decisions, describing her as a, quote, a major player in everything that we've done, as he directly tied her to the administration's policy failures.
Well, he really said is she's a player.
What he really says is she's just like me, except not as good, because my poll numbers were better. apparently there was a conversation. They hired a lip reader, the New York Post did, and basically said that was a conversation between Biden and the former president. That, yeah, he was the better choice. Obama said that, or agreed with him, I guess I should say. Yeah. All right. We've got a lot more to talk about. We've got another special guest coming up at 9:05. Going to talk about some of these amendments. So if you need that information, if you're not sure, man, stay right here. We got you covered on 97.3 The Sky. It is another day in paradise, my friends. We've made it to Monday, and a very significant Monday.
Yeah.
By the way, it is, let's call it 8:36 right now. It's significant because early voting begins, and all the doors should have been open 6 minutes ago if everything is going well. If there are reports when they're not going well, please let us know about that. We would like to know, and we can share that. But, yeah, this is going to be super, super important, and I've been begging folks since the very beginning to get it done sooner rather than later. Don't procrastinate like I normally do on, well, pretty much everything in my life.
Yeah, but Republicans are in this mindset because we like it traditionally to go in on Election Day and vote. This is not the year to do that.
And not in my opinion. No. I think we need to get it done before there's a broken pipe in Fulton County.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of, it's interesting, you know, what's the over-under on, you know, how many little stunts will be played? Like, oh, no, that could happen anytime.
Oh, yeah, you and you, y'all can go on home. We'll wrap it up this evening for you, and then we find those boxes under the table.
Well, if you're looking forward to the World Series, it's going to be the Dodgers and the Yankees.
There you go.
Should be pretty good. Even if my Tigers didn't make the cut.
But they did better than they've done in the last decade.
Indeed.
So there's that.
I'm not complaining.
So you're thrilled.
I'm happy.
He wore a Tiger shirt of some kind the day after they won all through the end of the season.
I did, yeah.
He did.
After, if I'm being honest, kind of wrote them off probably in August, early August. I'm like, yeah, they're done.
Because if you hadn't run on the shirts, they might have gone farther.
Oh. Hey, speaking of sports, WNBA is rolling in more cash than it ever has, really, in its relatively short history. Does anybody want to guess why that could be?
Caitlin Clark.
That's what I would think.
I mean, face it, she has brought them ratings and attention they have not seen in forever.
And
am I wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, you're
worried.
Not. You're, you.
Okay.
No, but it's you'd think she might complain, like, hey, man, I should get a bigger chunk of this. I helped to pull these fans in. But it's actually her rival, Angel Reese.
Oh, she's a whiner.
She says the money she receives from the league don't pay my bills. That's a quote.
She a college girl? Just asking.
Possible.
Okay.
I just hope y'all know, she said Wednesday on Instagram, the WNBA don't pay my bills at all. I don't even think it pays one of my bills. Literally.
She must have some bills.
Well, her rent is $8,000 a month.
Okay. Can I stop there for just a second?
Sure.
If you spend $8,000 a month to rent something, you're an idiot.
Yeah, and some guy named Dave that's on the radio sometimes probably agree with that.
Yes, he would. You're an idiot if you throw $8,000 a month away for rent. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, because
maybe, depending on what else you say.
Real estate's still one of the, best investments. But, so her annual rent is $96,000, and that's just going to rent.
Wow.
Now, yes, she's a professional basketball player,
but it is
the women's league, and you can only delve out so much based on what you're taking in.
Yeah.
So her salary is only $73,439, which, the average American, that's above the average. So, what's she complaining about?
It doesn't pay her rent, does it? Her whole a whole salary doesn't pay your rent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, she doesn't live off her salary alone, and everybody knows that deal. Her name, image, and likeness valuation was $1.8 million.
Mm.
She began getting, endorsement deals with Coach, Reebok, PlayStation, McDonald's, Wingstop, Outback Steakhouse, and Amazon. So her net worth fluctuates between $1.5 and $2 million.
And then she cries like a baby when Caitlin Clark gets a little bit of attention?
Yes. Yeah. And they said, is she really aware of this? Well, of course she is. And she told SportsCenter, I want people to know the deals don't just stop in college. When you go to the pros, it continues. I feel like they've grown even more. Now that I'm a pro, I can do so much more. So why does she cry poverty when technically she's a millionaire? Maybe saying you're broke is more fashionable than saying you've got it made. Only she knows, but Angel Reese is certainly not living beyond her means.
Not in the big picture.
Yeah. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and Donnie, you're on the air.
Good morning, Bob. What does she mean the WNBA doesn't pay her? Who pays the players in that league? Is it the league or is it the individual team? The statement doesn't even make sense.
But she's saying that salary does not pay her rent, meaning it's not enough to pay her rent. That she gets
I understand what she meant by that, but the WNBA doesn't make payment for team salaries. That's the team. And that's all based on calculations of how much money they're bringing in.
Yeah, like any other business arrangement, you have a certain percentage that you would spend on labor and all that. But here's the point, and we know this based on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason she has an endorsement, it's not because she's cute.
No.
Not because people like her, whether they do or not. She's got the endorsement because she's a professional basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So she can cry poor mouth with the WNBA,
right?
But I know what they'll turn around and say. Well, you not want to play? How long will those endorsements be there if you're not playing?
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a few athletes that can continue well into retirement.
Oh yeah,
Shaq Daddy's one of them,
big time.
The Shaq Master is going to be heading up our holiday parade here in Gainesville.
That's right, and I'm glad you called it a holiday parade, not a Christmas parade.
What?
It's a holiday parade when it's in Gainesville.
No Christ allowed?
No. Are you kidding me? No. Well, you could have one of those in Ocala. Probably Newberry would have
a Christmas event of
some sort. But Gainesville? Oh, no. No.
They're
not big on the Christ.
Guess what? Now that you said that, now that's all I'm going to call it. It's a Christmas parade.
Probably. Which would give me a reason to then give them a hard time when I correct it. So that's okay. I don't mind.
We know the cops have a tough job to do, and it seems like the media really likes to pay attention when they make a mistake or they're not cut out for the job.
Yeah.
But there are those that go above and beyond. I mean, you know, that's why we started that Valor program. Seems like if we were in Seattle, these guys would be up for the Valor Award for sure. And it's all on body cam. And they responded, officers in Seattle responded to a mental health crisis. It was a 57-year-old man involved, and he was perched high over the train tracks. Okay? And it didn't look good. The situation became even more tense because although officials requested all the trains to be stopped, they're like, yeah, they're all, oh, except for one. One got through.
Oh.
So only one train.
It only takes one train, though, Bob.
Yeah, how many trains do you need to get run over by? I think one is probably more than enough.
Yeah.
It was already inbound, apparently unable to halt.
Wow.
Body camera footage taken at the scene shows officers speaking to the man. One of them tells him, hey, I want to help you. I need you to hear me. I need you to hear what I'm saying. Seconds later, the man fell about 25 feet onto the rocks below.
Oh, wow.
Now, if that's not bad enough, because he suffered serious injuries with that, he wasn't able to move. He couldn't get up. He couldn't get himself up. So officers on the lower platform ran over to the tracks to save him. And it literally was like a movie-making finish where they're pulling him away as the train comes whizzing by and just barely missing the man. Now, he still suffered multiple fractures, was transported to a medical center. He's in critical condition, but at least he's alive. And so these are cops that went above and beyond, put their lives at risk to save this guy. And hopefully he'll get some real help, and maybe he'll be able to turn some things around, I hope.
Oh, that is scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Coming up at 9:05, we've got our special guest in the studio, Tim Marden, and he is the chair for Alachua County's REC, the Republican Executive Committee. He was gracious enough to join us last week and talk about the amendments. He's back to do it again, so if you missed it, don't go anywhere, because he's got great information, great insight, and he's willing to share it with us coming up in about 20 minutes. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Monday, early voting Monday. Get it done today, if possible. Get it done. Do you think everybody caught that?
I think you want them to get it done.
It's Monday. Yeah. We're going to make it great. You can make it greater by voting today. Early voting, and I think everywhere in our listening area, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah?
Yeah, at least for Marion and Alachua. Yep.
And yeah, and the polls don't open until 8:30. I had that wrong earlier, and I was like, yeah. So people who need to go to work, I don't know.
How do we talk to you about that?
Well, early voting, I think, is a good idea, but I don't think you need 2 weeks.
No, I agree.
You know?
You're right.
I'd like
we went years. Somehow we did it in one day. I don't know how we did it all those decades.
Just go from the Friday before all the way through Tuesday. That's okay. All you need.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse. We're going out of town for the weekend or whatever. Well, you still got early Friday, or you got Tuesday, the traditional day.
I like it.
Because what I'm afraid happens is the devil finds work for idle hands, or whatever my mom used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're sitting around all that time. And then, even though they're all there, depending on the precinct and what have you, but they're all there, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, the polls closed. Now we can start counting. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like the absentee stuff. I go, I get it if stuff just came in, but the absentee stuff's been coming in for literally a month or so.
I don't get states that do that. I don't understand that.
I don't like that. I don't like it that I grew up as a kid and my parents knew who the president was by the time I went to bed, usually.
Absolutely.
Certainly early in the morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are. Well, it's all the great technology we have. You gotta love that.
How's that working out for us?
Depends. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
The deadly shooting at former President Trump's rally in Pennsylvania was a preventable incident stemming from a lack of proper planning and communication between law enforcement agencies, according to a new report. The House Task Force investigating the attempts on Trump's life is releasing their interim findings. And the final report is expected by December 13th. Although the finding in the reports are preliminary, the information obtained during this first phase clearly shows a lack of planning and coordination between the Secret Service and its law enforcement partners before the rally. I mean, this is no surprise to any of us.
No.
It's a shock that things went the way they went. I mean, that was the shock.
Yeah.
U.S. Secret Service personnel at the event did not give clear guidance to state and local authorities about how to manage security outside of their hard perimeter, nor was there a central meeting between the Secret Service and the law enforcement agencies supporting them the morning of the rally. Yeah, those are two key failures, for sure. And I don't care whether you have law enforcement experience or not. You stand on that field and you look over, and 150 yards away is a roof.
Yeah,
with no law enforcement on it.
That should get your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's not there should get your attention.
Yep, it shows that these events clearly were preventable, should not have happened. The would-be assassin's bullet clipped Trump in the ear while he was addressing the supporters. As you know, Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20, opened fire on the rally from a rooftop just outside the event's hard security perimeter, killing one attendee and injuring two others in addition to Trump. So this report that just it literally just came out underscores the mountain of scrutiny that the Secret Service has grappled with since the shooting. Look, whether they want to call it DEI, that kind of hire, whatever, they put somebody in a command position who wasn't suited for that, at the very least. And then they didn't have the full complement of agents and filled in with Homeland Security folks.
That seemed pretty obvious on the actions of a couple of them. Yeah.
And I can also tell you this. Remember, right after the event happened, I had my cousin, who is a Secret Service agent, and, you know, we got him on the air, and he said everything they're saying on this report, everything, he laid it all out. He didn't go into something that I knew, okay? He was like my hero growing up, right? He's like 9 years older than me, or I guess he's 6 years older than me. Anyway, this guy was all world everything, super good in academics, super fast runner, super great football player. But long story short, he was a victim of the beginnings of that whole equal opportunity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the powers that be, he said, this isn't about a classroom picture looking good. Our jobs literally deal with life and death. You guys need to knock it off.
And they listened to him, right?
They listened to him and got rid of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically. All right, we've got the 9 o'clock stretch coming up. We've got Tim Martin that's going to go over the amendments with us, and he is the chair for the Republican Executive Committee. So stand by, because it's going to be great information, and we're going to share it with you right here on 97.3 The Sky.